on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Monday, November 11th, 2024 edition, and it is Veterans Day. And it was initially known as Armistice Day, I don't know if you knew that, to commemorate the end of World War I back in 1918. However, in 1954, the holiday was renamed Veterans Day in honor of all military veterans. How many American soldiers died in World War I? About 117,000. 53,400 died in battle in less than 6 months of fighting. 63,000 soldiers died from accidents and disease, mostly from the 1918 influenza pandemic. Interesting, considering we just went through a pandemic. Now, World War I was the deadliest war in American history after the Civil War and World War II. And it's worth noting that today, a different federal holiday, Memorial Day, is the nation's foremost annual day to mourn and honor its deceased servicemen and women. So this is about all veterans, not just those that have passed. And Memorial Day is those that have been deceased. Now, with that said, the markets are constantly shifting. And especially post-election, a lot of jockeying for position and new trends are emerging. So all around, we're seeing economic and political changes. So that is not news, but it's time to refocus on that. And as usual, we've got a lot to talk about today. But first, let's play a caller question now.
I had a question about your value on GEV. It's Vernova. There was a spinoff from GE earlier this year. And the valuation is just taken off like crazy. What does the data look like now that there's a little bit of a couple quarters of history? Thank you.
All right, looking at GE Vernova, and this is a spinoff of GE, designs, manufactures, and services technologies to create reliable and sustainable electric power systems. And this has done well after the election and continues to power higher. Now, earnings next year are supposed to be about $7 per share. Now, it's a $350 stock, though. That is the main issue here. You know, It's such a new company. You know, it's a spinoff from GE, and there's not a whole lot to say about it quite yet because literally it's only been public. Let's see when the spinoff was. That was back in March of this year, so it's, you know, about 8 months now. It's continued to go higher. It's went from 120 all the way to 350 today, and obviously, at $6-7 per share in earnings, that's just not tenable, right? The current price is just way, way too expensive. But here you're talking about wind power, onshore and offshore wind turbines and blades. I don't think that's going to do very well in this environment. Now, that's part of their business. They also have, let's see, it's three segments: power, wind, and electrification. So I think that's what's powering here. It's not the wind turbines. It's gas, nuclear, hydroelectric, and steam technologies. And then it also has grid solutions, power conversion, electrification software, solar, etc. So that part is really what's driving it here. The problem is I think there are a lot of other companies that have more history, more understanding of the trajectory of their business, earnings, et cetera. And I just don't have enough information yet because it's just too new of a new entity. Yes, its operations have been around a while, but it's been under this big umbrella of GE. So I would just watch it for now and see how the numbers come in, because to me, based on earnings expectations for next year, it's just way too expensive. So it's on the watch list, but still on the watch list. Now, a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes, and here is what we have planned. Our main focus point is about how to accurately value real estate. There's three different ways to look at a real estate piece of real estate's value, okay? And we're going to look at comparables as well as cost of construction and land value, and then those that focus on the income potential of a property, okay? So we'll look at that. We also have other topics on the docket. One is in regards to everyone loves to look at the R word, recession. When are we having a recession? If we're having a recession, we should sell equities, right? We should get out of stocks. Well, a recession can mean a lot of different things. Yeah, there's a general definition of what a recession is, but that doesn't mean what most people thinks it means when it comes to its manifestation and asset prices, et cetera. So we're going to look at the history of recessions and give you some context there. And then if we have time, what if you had a crystal ball? Meaning, what if you could see the headlines in the newspaper ahead of time? Would you be able to make more money? Would you be able to get rich just by knowing those headlines? Well, a new study has come out and has some surprising results. It's called the Crystal Ball Trading Challenge. So we'll take a look at that. In addition, we have voice bank calls. One is on FLMX, it's a Mexico ETF. And then we have some questions that came in via the comment section over on our YouTube channel. Of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions right now. But we're heading into a short break, and on the other side, I will touch briefly on today's market activity and then play some more of your questions here on Invest Talk.
Invest Talk is made better when listeners add their voices.
This is Nick from Seattle.
Hey, this is Steve out of Charleston, South Carolina.
Could you comment on Barrick Gold? G-O-L-B.
And Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are always ready to provide unbiased answers.
Be patient. Don't rush into anything. Understand what you own.
I would probably trim here, but I don't see any reason why you'd want to sell out of it.
Voice bank calls are very important, but so are the spontaneous questions that come in during the Invest Talk live stream.
Let's pivot over to a live call. We love those.
Looks like we got our first live call. I love live calls.
If you've never called, what are you waiting for?
Let's go take another live call.
Tell your friends, live a little, live a little.
It's like we got a live call.
Call Invest Talk, weekdays from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it sure does. I appreciate the advice.
888-99-CHART. Invest Talk, now with more than 60 million downloads. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are ready to answer your finance and investment questions 24/7, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go take a quick look at the market today. It was another positive day post the Trump election victory, the fourth nicely positive day in markets. Now, it was a bit more mixed than the previous three. You certainly had some weakness, especially in the commodity space, where you had a strong dollar that set back some of those names. But also the semiconductor space, the SMH was down about 2.25% today, which is very interesting. And even some of the big tech names, Apple down 1.2%, Microsoft down 1%. You had Google that was up 1%, and Amazon that was down about 0.5% there. So the weakness was certainly out of generally the big tech names, the Mag 7. But really, the growth side of the market still did fairly well. But you had the NASDAQ that was only up. Let me take a look here. NASDAQ was up, barely up, 0.06%. S&P was up 0.1%. So a mixed bag overall, but you are continuing to get that follow through, but I think there's still a lot of jockeying for position on how the market trends are going to evolve, because I think there are some areas of the market that are a bit offsides. If I was to call one, it would really be the dollar. I think the dollar strength on the back of the tariffs are just misguided. You have a vice president, J.D. Vance, and you also have you have Robert Lighthizer, who is going to be integral in the economic trade policy. And both of them are for a weak dollar. They want a weak dollar to help domestic manufacturing become more competitive, et cetera. So if I'm going to critique the market's move in any of this, it's really that. It's why, what makes you think that the incoming administration is going to sit idly by and just allow the dollar to power higher? I don't see that happening. That's where I see the best opportunity in this trade. Obviously, a lot of names have moved, and I think most of those moves will be durable. I'm not going to argue that. I think there's a lot the market is getting right in this. Industrials doing well, small caps doing better. I do think those are factors that are areas that will gain strength throughout the Trump administration. But there are, as usual, just like there was in the first administration, there are parts that just simply the market will get wrong. And I think on the dollar is probably the number one. So once again, mixed day in markets. But in general, as I've been saying for a while, no matter who had won the election, the structure of the markets are such that you're likely to get positive trends through year end and probably through the first quarter. Now, beyond that, I think a lot is up in the air, but that's where we're at. And that's how you have to continue to position yourself in markets. We have a live call lined up. Will in San Diego looking at FNMA.
Good afternoon. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, why is this starting to move?
Because there's speculation that the Trump administration will return Fannie Mae to a private company, and that they'll be able to keep their profits and not return them to the Treasury as they've been doing since the financial crisis. And, you know, if you want to bet on that, this is the play.
It's speculative, then.
It's 1,000% speculative. Yeah, because post the financial crisis, the government has basically confiscated their profits, saying, "Hey, we had to bail you out. Okay. We had to bail you out, and in return for bailing you out, we get your profits." And you know, there's strong basis for that. Obviously, shareholders will continue to sue and try to get that to change. I think it's moving for a good reason. Meaning, there's a better chance under a Trump administration than a Biden or Harris administration that this will happen. But, you know, from a populist perspective, if Trump is going to be more of a populist, is he really going to allow the Fannie Mae, that's what this is, Fannie Mae, to exist and earn profits for the private sector with a de facto backing by the government? That's what happened. And you saw what happened with the financial crisis, right? Was, hey, we had to back you and we had to bail you out. We had to step up to the plate as a government and adhere to that de facto guarantee from the government. And they continued to operate, but as operations continued, they kept those profits. And so this is complete speculation that they will now allow them to return the capital to shareholders. I don't necessarily think I buy it, but you know, we'll find out. Thanks for the call. Now we're moving to a break, still to come. In my focus point, we will discuss as well as answers to your questions and your YouTube questions as well. But give me a call at 888 888- 99 Shark.
Justin Klein is here and ready to tackle your questions.
I've heard you say multiple times that you prefer shorter duration treasury bonds. Can you explain to me why it is more advisable?
Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, our main focus point today is about real estate values. Real estate values. Now, I do have my real estate license, so I understand this better than most advisors out there. Now, I don't actively use it often besides my own deals, but this is something I know a lot about. Now, real estate valuations take into a lot of different factors, location, lot size, amenities, floor plan, et cetera. And the value is something that's very important to most people because homeownership is not something that's short-term. It's usually a long-term commitment, okay? An accurate valuation is important to a lot of different players, not just you, the buyer, the seller, but also those that finance the purchase, property insurance companies, local governments for taxes, et cetera. And the benefits of owning a piece of real estate are generally felt over a long term. It's not like you buy it and you get that value in a short period of time. So there are four elements to value. The number one is demand, obviously. Number two is utility. And most people don't think of it that way. Most people think of it just based on demand, or the third, which is scarcity, the finite supply of a competing property. And the fourth is transferability. So one and three, most people think about, right? What is the demand? How scarce is this type of property within my area? But number two and four are less talked about. So utility that you get out of it, okay? The satisfaction of the owner, the needs of the owner, et cetera. And then transferability, how easy it is to move ownership. And that's one thing that most people don't think about when they look at any asset, which is how liquid is it? You know, it takes a while to sell a home, takes a while to get title and transfer all that. And so that actually hurts the value. If it was more liquid, it would actually up the value of all properties because people could buy it one day and sell it the next, kind of like a stock, right? And the liquidity would be there and you just bring in more buyers, potential buyers, okay? Now, value is not necessarily equal to cost or price. Now, it affects it, but is not determinative of value. So make sure you understand that. Now, the first method to find the value of a property is the most common, especially in residential real estate, which is the comps. Okay. What similar properties have been sold within the last year under normal market conditions that have similar attributes? Okay. And typically, you need at least three or four comparables to use this process. And then you have to make adjustments. For example, age and condition of the building. Right. So it can be, still a four bedroom house with three bathrooms, 3,200 square feet. And you might find a few of those comps. But has that property been recently upgraded? Or maybe it's, needs a full remodel. And you have to adjust based on those other sales. Maybe some of those other sales have had different conditions, and typically they do. Okay. And then you have date of sale. So has the economy gotten better? Have prices generally gone up or down in that area since those sales? Okay. And then the terms of the sale is, were any of those sales under duress? Was there a bidding war on one of them that pushed the value up for, some reason only subject to that particular property, right? So make sure the terms and conditions are the same. Then location, right? So one might be a little bit closer to a street. and that road noise was going to hurt that property. And so you have to adjust for that. And then physical features, lot size, landscaping, the quality of the construction, et cetera. Those things are obviously, you know, you have to adjust for that. So that's the comp method. And that's the most common for a residential property. And then there's the cost approach, okay? And this is separating the value of the building and the land. And when you, I don't know if most people don't know this, when you're the coverage that you get for your property is typically only for the building. Because let's say there's a fire, let's say there's a hurricane, whatever it is, the building gets wiped out. Well, the land's still there. The land still has value. But obviously, and they're not replacing the land, but they will replace the actual structure. And so you're just getting typically coverage on the structure to be rebuilt. So they're looking kind of this at a cost from the cost approach. Okay. And this is also more useful when those type of properties aren't being bought or sold frequently, especially those that don't generate income in any way. Think of schools, churches, hospitals, government buildings, things like that. That's where you typically see this type of approach being the cost approach being utilized. The last is more from an investment standpoint. And it's really looking at rate of return on the investment and net income the property produces. And this is typically for apartment complexes, office buildings, shopping centers, et cetera. You know, what is the cap rate here? A common way to look at it is called a gross income multiplier. This is kind of like the P ratio of a property. So it's the sale price divided by the rental income. So, you know, in stock terms, you know, market cap divided by earnings, that's the P ratio. Okay. So that's another common way to look at it. And then what are similar properties in that area trade for in a gross income multiplier, for example. So those are the three main ways to value real estate. That was Invest Talk. We thank you for listening and I'm ready for your calls right now or anytime at 888-99-CHART.
Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Plus, you can streamline security reviews by automating questionnaires and demonstrating your security posture with a customer-facing trust center, all powered by Vanta AI. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off.
Your questions are free. The answers are unbiased. Justin Klein is here now, ready to take your calls live. Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Hey guys, this is Kevin calling from La Crescenta, California. All right, I've been looking at Reddit, RDBT. It IPO'd this year and it's been running up like crazy. I use Reddit a lot and I know a lot of people do. Can you let me know what you think about this stock and if you think that'd be a good idea? Thanks as always.
All right. Looking at Reddit, RDDT, and a recent IPO back in March. And it's been doing well since the IPO launch. But that's not uncommon for the first 6-9 months or so of an IPO. And it surged recently before the Trump election. I believe that was on earnings, which did come out. Earnings were positive by 16 cents, revenues up 68%. But if you're looking at price to sales, even going forward, you're talking about a 15 to 20 times multiple that it's trading at price to sales, which is a very, very high. And I'm afraid that this will probably come down a lot as the lockup period is now likely over for most insiders. And this bump will give them an opportunity to sell it And I think that will probably be the case. I think this will probably, multiples will probably come down next year. So name to have on the watch list, but it's just way, 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 way too expensive to be buying at these levels. Thanks for the call. Now, I hope you've been telling your friends and family about our audio podcast being available in video form over on our YouTube channel. We get questions submitted over there all of the time. And Amaramic says, wondering your thoughts on ONON as possible tariffs that might come with new policies in 2025. Huge fan of the brand. And this is On Running, and it is in a solid uptrend, like most things right now. This is another good example of those companies that initially went public and then usually goes into a downtrend 6, 9, 12 months after. And then bottoms, and it's found a bottom back in the fall of 2022. And it IPO'd around $35 per share, hit a low in the fall of 2022 around in the mid-teens, around 15. And now we're up to 52 and change. And if we look at the, let me take a look here. If we look at the earnings continue to go higher. Revenues are up 27% last quarter. Earnings are up 248% last quarter. Earnings this year are supposed to be $1 per share and $1.08 next year. So you're based on forward-looking earnings about 50 times. We know that's pretty expensive. You're like you're at a price to sales somewhere around 8 times. So I just think it's a bit too expensive. And what you're talking about with the tariffs, right? What will the tariffs look like? How will they be evenly applied to On Running as well as Nike and Hoka, et cetera? And I just think there's too much risk here. Now, in the short term, technically, it looks fine. I don't think this is rolling over soon, although we are getting a MACD divergence here. This is at a new high today, but the MACD is not. It's actually threatening to break the zero line. That's very interesting here. So a great brand, something I would continue to have on the watch list, but it needs to be far cheaper. So after this run and with this recent MACD divergence, I would pass on Running. Thanks for the call. Now let's touch a bit on headlines. Everybody looks at headlines. And most people would say, oh, I wish I got this headline yesterday. I would know exactly what to do. I would know exactly how to trade, exactly what to buy to take advantage of these headlines. Well, there were some university professors that wanted to test this theory, and they called it the crystal ball trading game. And what happened was players were given $1 million in play money. They were shown 15 Wall Street Journal articles, front pages, following big economic news, randomly selected over the past 15 years. They were allowed to use up to 50 times leverage and make bets beforehand, knowing that this would be the headline the following day. And what happened? Well, the median, after 15 rounds, the median amount of wealth from that $1 million was $687,986. And many of those people lost everything. Now, a small slice made a ton of money, yes. But generally, most people lost money, even though they knew the headline. And they looked at 8,000 financially savvy investors. And so it's very interesting here. Players got the basic direction of the stock market less than half the time, knowing the headline. Now, they blacked out, you know, obvious things like Dow Sword or anything like that. But, you know, headlines like, you know, Fed cut rates, Fed raise rates, etc. And so often, especially over the last 15 years, good news is bad news and bad news is good news. And sometimes good news is good news. Sometimes bad news is bad news. So the first lesson is that even if you guess the future of what the Fed is doing, what the economy is doing, etc. That does not give you a 100% clear indication of how to invest your money. So curb your excitement over how something will play out. Because the actual end result often will be different than you think. Now, the second lesson is that markets are made up of millions of people with complex emotions. And bold headlines are just that. They're there to get you to pay attention, but they're not really there to inform you. So the devil's often in the details. So don't sit there and think that you can know how to invest simply by browsing an article, browsing the Wall Street Journal or the Financial Times or Barron's or whatever. Those headlines are there to attract your attention. They're not there to educate you. Now, you can dig into the article and get educated and understand context, understand the details of the story. But simply going based on the headline is not a great way to go, whether you know that after the fact or before. Now, 2024 is moving fast, and we only have, 6-7 weeks left in the year? Can you believe that? And the big question is, how will your portfolio do under Trump administration in 2025 and beyond? Are you aligned with the broader trends in the market? Or are you aligned with the world that you hope exists? You know, this election is a great example. You know, roughly half the country. I know Trump won the popular vote, but, you know, only by, a million and a half or so votes. So roughly half the country was disappointed with the results. But the market went up. And so that other half, they may change their portfolio based on how they hope the world will be. They may hope that Trump flames out, for example. But the reality of the situation, no matter what side you fall on, you have to invest based on how the market is. And so if you need help doing that, if you need help parsing through the complexities of the world we're living in, especially in the world that we're about to live in, which I think is going to get more complex than what we're dealing with today, just simply because you have new administration with a lot of new priorities that may or may not be realized, just like every administration, right? Every administration comes in with ideals, and some get passed, some go through, and others get thrown to the wayside. So if you need help parsing through all of this and how it impacts your portfolio, I encourage you to reach out to myself at my company, KP Financial, which is where we have the same philosophy, both on and off air, which is independent thinking and shared success. We're here to go along with you, share in our success, okay? And we practice unbiased guidance and parallel investing, which means we invest right alongside our clients. So I encourage you to take advantage of this free portfolio review by heading over to investtalk.com and clicking on the portfolio review button and scheduling a telephone call or Zoom meeting with me. Now, this is InvestTalk now with more than 60 million downloads, and our work continues in 30 seconds. So hang on.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future.
Would this be an opportune time to get into annuities?
Everyone's situation is different.
Get your thoughts on CRM, Salesforce.
And so are their questions.
And I was just calling for your assessment of Blackstone Incorporated.
24/7, rain or shine, InvestTalk is made better by the power of you. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Justin and Luke. This is Andrew from Buffalo. Let's call in about a stock, ticker symbol TMDX. It's Transmedics Group. They basically have an ecosphere of organ transplant system. It's a stock that I was in about a year ago and rode it all the way up to about 150 or so, I believe. It's pulled back quite a bit on some down earnings, but I still think it's a good stock and well-positioned for the future. Just wondering what you all think, and if you think it's a good stock to get back into, what would be a good entry point? Thanks, sir.
Well, this is a name that was losing a ton of money for a long period of time, and it's suddenly making money. It's supposed to earn $1.04 this year, $1.65 next year, but those estimates are coming down. And proof is that, like you said, last quarter, revenues were only up 64%. And this is the perfect example of when companies are trading at very high multiples and they're growing fast. If the next earnings announcement doesn't have a similar level of growth and doesn't jive with the long-term growth narrative, the multiple is going to be hit hard. And this is a name that peaked out recently at $175. Now it's down to $89.11. And even based on $1.65 next year, it's still pretty expensive. You're talking about 60-ish multiple. And a year ago, they were growing revenue 159% and now down to 64. And that's really the issue, is that the market's repricing this and likely to continue to reprice this much, much lower. Your price sales ratio is still 7.6. Enterprise value to EBIT is around 47. I think this needs to be cut roughly in half again from here. It's already been roughly cut in half. I think it needs to go down probably into the 40s, and that's where it'd be interesting again. And until then, I wouldn't be buying more. I'd actually think about selling it, because it could go down into the 40s and languish there for a while until you get a reacceleration of growth. Okay, 40 is just where it starts to become a conversation. I don't even think it's a conversation here. I think it's just way too expensive. So. And you just started a downturn, right? It just gapped down from 128-ish, 126, all the way down to a low recently of 82 post-earnings. So that's a pretty big drop, and it's below all the major moving averages. The technicals are broken, and it's going to need a lot more, a bigger change in momentum and the chart to make this profitable. So until it gets to 40 and then starts an uptrend, I wouldn't even be looking at it. I think it's a lot more. I think there's a lot more downside to come. Now let's move quickly and squeeze in another question now.
I'm looking to get your thoughts on Twilio, ticker TWLO. I'm looking to hold for 3+ years, but I really want to get InvestTalk's input. Thanks in advance. Bye.
Oh, I think you're very late to the game, at least near term, right? This has moved up dramatically from 56 back in September. Now we're at 94. And obviously, they had good earnings, 10% revenue growth last quarter. That was an acceleration from 4% the previous quarter. And earnings were up 76%. So they're in $4.28 next year. And now the good thing is, from a weekly perspective, it's just starting an uptrend. You know, this fell all the way from $450 per share back in late 2020 and hit a recent low of $52. Okay, now we're at 94. So that's the positive here, is a lot of that excess has been worked off and it's at least reasonably priced. But, you know, that sales growth still pretty meager and it's very overbought in the near term. So I don't hate it on a pullback or a consolidation phase, but I don't think there's much upside in the short term. But if you want to bet on that growth longer term to reaccelerate, then you'd want a consolidation period to get in. Now, this is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday, and that's to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after our final breaks. Get your questions in right now at 888-99-CHART.
Got a question for Justin or Luke? You're the best person to ask it.
I wanted to pick your brain about Apple. What did you think about their earnings call? Is this a good time to add to my position?
Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go take a live call. Sammy from San Francisco, listening on AM 1220, and he wants to talk about Tesla.
Thanks, Justin, for taking my call. My question to you is why this company stock is going up so much. The fundamentals have not changed as far as I've read. If anything, you know, the new administration is going to likely scale back on EV credits. Mm-hmm. So the stock should be headed down.
So I don't this is a perfect example, along with the Fannie Mae question earlier, how the regulatory environment is often very important to the valuation of a company. It's pretty clear that now, under a Trump administration, things like false advertisement around full self-driving is not going to be punished under the new administration, right? The NTSB isn't going to pull full self-driving from the market because it's still in beta mode and, you know, has its issues, right? So, you know, those types of regulatory problems that Tesla has been in some ways been hanging over Tesla's head, it's very unlikely to be an issue over the next 4 years, right? And so I think that's the revaluation higher, because you're right. The business of Tesla is, you know, it's certainly profitable now, but it's not doing very well. If you look at, you know, revenues are only up 8% last quarter. Earnings this year are supposed to be down 23% from last year. So, you know, its growth overall is slowed and should not be trading at these type of multiples by any stretch of the imagination. But that's what you're seeing here is, you know, it's probably short covering. There's as well as an adjustment to the new regulatory environment that obviously with Elon being helpful to the new Trump administration and getting elected and backing him, they're just not going to do anything to prevent Tesla from kind of doing whatever, you know, whatever they want.
So your recommendation at this point is to stay away, or?
I think it could continue its near-term momentum, you know, but from, Tesla's been overvalued for a long period of time, and Tesla's still well below its all-time high. It was, you know, $414 per share. Now it's creeping back up towards there, right? We're at $350 at the close today, but it's still generally down. Why? Because the fundamentals peaked out around that same time. They made $4.07 in 2022, now making $2.42 this year. And so you're right, those underlying fundamentals continue to weaken. And then obviously an administration would not be as friendly to the electric vehicle industry. And then, you know, you're talking about tariffs and all the things that go into these products. You know, Tesla imports a lot of their cars from China as well. So what does that look like? And obviously you might get an exemption, right? That's probably what you're seeing too, is, hey, we're going, they might get an exemption as opposed to other automakers that might import and get a tariff on their cars. So, you know, it's still a lot to be seen. I just think it's a name that, you know, has, it's terribly overvalued.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Now, lastly, let's touch a bit on recessions. Do we have time? I don't know if I can dig. I don't have enough time to dig into this. Yeah, we only have 1 minute left. And frankly, I would love to dig into recessions, but frankly, I just don't have enough time. It's just we're too up against the clock. Well, that about does it. I thank you all for tuning in to this hour of Invest Talk. And a reminder, tell your friends and family and spread the word about Invest Talk. And tune in tomorrow. We'll have more for you. And make sure you can get your podcast anytime at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. And be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. And hope you've heard that the Invest Talk podcast is available in video form over on our YouTube channel. So head over there and subscribe. And remember, we can help you better understand your portfolio dynamics, improve your investment results, and calculate your risk number just by heading over to investtalk.com, clicking on the portfolio review button. And this is a free and confidential service. This is Invest Talk, independent thinking, shared success. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.